their separate lesson also, so you can dismiss them with her. Now, take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We've been working through our striving together, and I know we took a little break last week for our business meeting, and so we talked about love, just to kind of supplement and go through that, since we wouldn't have to break out into groups, wouldn't have the time to do that. But we're jumping back into it with striving together, and today's topic is being kind to one another. And so in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, it's where we find our basis. So if you would, read with me, and then we'll start in prayer, and we will go through it briefly before we break into our small groups. It says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Amen. Let's pray real quick. Father God, we are just so grateful for your word and how it leads us, Lord, and the clear instructions that you have given us as to how we are to interact with each other, how we are to strive together, Lord. And so I just pray in this time that we don't think about ourselves only in the sense that we think of how we can make ourselves more like you and how we can be better than we were the day before. Lord, remind us to love one another and to do that in being kind to one another. Where we've talked about so many ways to love one another. And today, just help us think about our attitudes and how we are going to other people and what we show ourselves as. And please give us that focus and hit us at our hearts with the times that we are not kind. And remind us of the fact that that grieves your spirit. So please convict us of our sin. And help us grow closer together so that we can be more powerful in our testimony towards you and towards your kingdom, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. See, Matt had given me his book to read through. And so basing it off of that, they start with giving us an unsettling statistic, not necessarily for us, but for businesses, that 53% of people who would purchase from a certain company, they will quit buying from that company because of the reason of uncivil employees. And we can translate that to being people were not kind to them. We did not give our business to you because we had a bad experience with someone who represented you. Now, yes, this is talking about companies, but let's stop and think of that and connect that to our church. How often are there times that people say, "I spent time at this church, but then someone was not kind to me, and so I left. And I went somewhere else, and they weren't kind to me there." And in the broad scale, how often do people say, I looked at the prospect of being a church-going person, but people weren't kind. In fact, Gandhi himself said, "I love your Christ, but I hate your Christians, because your Christians are unlike your Christ." And the reason he said this was because he tried to go into church in a place where there was a caste system, and instead of the Christians looking past that and being like Christ and accepting all who come in, they held to their caste system and did not allow him to come in. He came to learn about Christ because he loved the way he taught. And yet Christians, in their unkindness, pushed him away. Now, I'm not saying that that gives an excuse to those who turn away from church. Like, there's a problem with saying because these people are bad, that means the person who upon its foundation is bad too. That he has fault for rejecting Christ. But realize, those people, His blood is on their hands. If we are not only just preaching the gospel, if we are not living the gospel to other people, and we turn them away from God and from His church, their blood is on our hands. And so, I know we think of the word, the kindness, and we don't put a lot of weight and gravity to it, but it does have a lot of weight. Its implications are very important. So, today we're looking through Ephesians 25 so that we can realize how to be kind one to another and to all those who come within our doors. So, the first thing we see here is the conflict with kindness. See, throughout this passage we go through, the Bible articulates it very well because it goes from telling you what not to do, but it doesn't just leave you in a vacuum. It also tells you what you are to do. So avoid doing this, but then do this, right? It's not enough to raise up a child if you want them to be a good adult when they grow up. You don't just tell them, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. You tell them what they are to do also. And so Ephesians takes that emphasis. So if you look first, he mentions not being the lying people, putting these things away. And he starts with the negatives. So we see the conflict here that happens of anger. See, in verse 26, it says, be angry, but don't sin. Now, the realization here is that when we are angry, it leads us to sin. And I know what you're thinking. It's the thing that every person thinks of whenever we talk about anger. So, well, hold on, wait a minute. Jesus was angry. Jesus went into the temple, and it was so angry that he flipped a table. So if we say, what would Jesus do? Flipping a table is an option somewhere. But we say, Jesus got so mad that he drove these people out. I can be angry. And you're correct. But you have to realize that the follow-up to that is, do not sin. You can be angry, but in your anger, do not sin. And here's the difference. It's the difference from having emotions and being emotional. Like, Jesus had emotions. God has emotions. We see times that we see those emotions come out. And for him, it's pure, and it's just our understanding of it. But in some sense, love is an emotion, and God has it. And in some sense, we see anger as an emotion, and God has it. It's a part of his justice. But the difference is that God is fully in control of himself. But Gabe, when Gabe gets angry, even if it's for a good reason, when I get angry, I can see that outer body experience come out. And I know you guys may not have seen it before, but it's definitely happened. I remember a time where I felt righteously angry because me and my friend, we were giving the gospel to a fellow friend at school, and we were talking at lunch about praying for this person, and a third friend came along and started hearing what we said, and then got on to us because we gave the gospel to him wrong. And started repeating himself and in a very wrong way, was telling us what we did was not right. We didn't do it good enough. And righteously, we could say, it doesn't matter, we gave him the gospel. You don't need to nitpick us. But the problem is, that's not how it came out when Angry Gabe came out. The problem is, how dare you say something like that? And I don't even know what was said. But the thing is that I was angry, and instead of checking myself and reining in those emotions, I flipped my lid and didn't have control. I mean, that's why the Bible says to be slow to wrath. And with that is to be slow to speak and quick to hear. Look, our reactions tell so much about us. So what we should always be doing is reining those in and being in control. Look, if something happens, immediacy is not always something that's great for us. We shouldn't always respond first. We should stop and think. We should ask questions and then shoot. Not shoot first, ask questions later, or never ask questions. We should ask questions first. So we see that our anger, our emotions, are what lead to a lot of our problems. And here's the result of that. If we don't, if you look in verse 27, it says, don't give place to the devil. Look, it's a corruption of our testimony. Look, if we, even if we are doing what we should be doing, if we're standing up for what's right, say abortion comes up in an argument. Look, abortion is something that should make us angry. The fact that people are killing innocent babies, that should make us angry. But I should not step out of my self-control to berate or to degrade these people that I am talking to. I should have control. I should be civil. I should be loving. I should be kind. And if I am not, I'm giving a place for the devil to reign. See, the idea here is to be blameless, which does not mean being perfect, but it literally means being without handles. Look, because you want to get up and have a platform to speak about Jesus, if you are going to get up and do it, there shouldn't be any place that someone can reach and yank you down. And that's what anger can do. But instead, though we are not perfect, we can be without handles if we control ourselves. Thinking back to what we just said, if those people were kind to Gandhi, then he wouldn't have been able to say, I hate your Christians. He would say, I love your Christ, and you Christians are just like them. So in the same way, we need to rein ourselves in, be without handles, and deal with that conflict that faces our kindness. So we move forward from that, looking at verse 28. Now you see, there's the negative we should avoid. Let's move towards the positive that we should do. See, look in verse 28, he says, like the person who steals, don't steal anymore. So don't do that, but do the opposite of it. Look, you have a problem with stealing. What does he say? Work. Work and give to those that need. Look, the solution to stealing is not just don't steal. The solution is become a generous person. The solution to lying is not just, okay, don't try and lie, but go and tell the truth. Like, we have to work positively, or that's what kind of people we will stay to be. So when you move on to 29, we see him now applying this to our kindness. He says, don't let corrupt communication come out of your mouth. And see, the idea of corruption is that you had something that was good, that now something is overtaking it that is not. And in the truest sense, we are made in the image of God. And when we are not kind, that image is corrupted. Now, we don't lose the image, but you can't see it very well. You've got all this gunk on it instead. And it's not good. And think for just a second of what damage the tongue can do. I mean, Proverbs says the tongue has the power of life and death. And if we're not kind, that means we're giving death. And James goes on to describe it as if it's some uncontrollable beast, a raging fire or a poison. Look, we can do serious damage with our words. And this is the people that we don't like, the people that we just shout something to, what we type, what we write. All of these things, they have power to it. So we should not let it be corrupt, but instead, now moving to the second part of 29, we should put it to use of being edifying. So don't say corrupt things. Don't be mean in how you speak. But instead, speak to people and build them up. Like, I know you guys, you've heard it before, that they say, if you don't have something nice to say, don't say anything at all. No. Like, something that I heard at camp that stuck with me the hardest, and I was like, how do we even do this? Is, if you don't have something nice to say, try again, you do. Have something nice to say. Dig down and find something positive to bring up to build the person up. That's what the word edify means, is to build up. As Christians especially, we should never find ourselves in a position where we can't have something nice to say, because it doesn't matter how terrible you think that person is, they're still made in the image of God. They are an imprint of their Creator. There should be something nice to say. And at the very least, if you think it's hard to do it, let's look at the reasons why. Like in the next verse 30, it gives us a good reason why. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Now right there, we're understanding the Holy Spirit's not a force, but a person, because you can't grieve a force. The Holy Spirit is grieved when we say corrupt things. It hurts him. And that means it hurts all of God. It hurts Jesus to hear you talk about people that he died for that way. It hurts God to hear you talk about people that he made that way. It grieves him. I mean, I think of it this way. So often I've heard from my parents that as much as I can shower them with love, when I turn and argue with my siblings, they say, we just wish that you would be kind to one another. Yes, it hurts us if you're mean towards us, but it hurts us even more when you're mean towards each other. And that they say that they, that's all that my, like my mother would say is, all of that I wish is that you guys would just get along. It grieves her when it's not that way. And understand this, I've learned from having siblings and being around family that family is the hardest people to be kind to sometimes. You're just around them all the time. Now let's take that and extend it for a second, that, because that means these are still the people you should be the most kind to. What are we but a church family? So we can be nice to people outside at work easily, but man, when we come back to church, these people that we are around all the time and just don't treat you the way you think you need to be treated, man, it's hard to be kind to them sometimes. But realize God is saying the same thing. Look, you can say that you love him, but what he wants is to see that with how you love each other, how you're kind to each other. And here's a second reason why. Because what we say comes from our heart. Like that's what Jesus says, out of the abundance of our heart is what our mouth proceeds. So listen, if the things that we say do damage to people on the outside, it comes from the inside. What do you think it's doing there? Right? Our bitterness is what gives us unkind words. And bitterness is a poison. And you don't just say unkind words. You collect them and you hold them and you simmer with them. Now, how good is poison if you let it just sit inside you while you wait? So we can't have that bitterness. But instead, let's turn and look. Instead of that bitterness and that wrath and the anger and the evil speaking, put it all away. And it says instead to be kind to one another. And then it goes through and clarifies what is kindness. We see the characteristics of kindness. Kindness, it says, is tender-hearted. Kindness is gentle. Kindness is, and let me make sure this is clear. Gentle is like meekness. It's not weak. It's not weak at all. And if any of you have heard the phrase of meeking a horse, you understand that that does not make a horse weak. When you tame a horse, it doesn't lose its power. It has control over it. In fact, a lot of times when you have a horse that's in control, it has more strength than ones that are not in control. And that's, we have some kids in our youth that are doing martial arts. They say you can see who is the more skilled and the more powerful martial arts master by who has the most control. The ones that are out of control and do the most damage, they're the ones that don't really know what they're doing. And in the same way, we are to be tender-hearted. We have to be meek. Look, anybody can hurt people with words. That's easy to do. But it takes some effort, it takes some strength to be able to be kind to people. And in fact, like it resonates more with them. And it shows more about your strength that you're able to do those things. So kindness is tender-hearted. And then look, it says, like even as like God's sake, it says, to be forgiving one another, we see that kindness is compassionate. Now what that means, what you boil it down to here, is that kindness is something we put ourselves in to where our heart yearns to help others. It gushes that way. It's not forced. Yes, we might need to start out and tell ourselves to be kind to people, but you don't have God sitting here and saying, I'm going to strike you with lightning if you don't say something nice. Compassionate means you're not forced to do it. You're not being reminded to do it. And you're not even doing it and remembering that you are doing a kind thing. It's just the kind of person that you are. Which means that it's rooted in being identified with Christ. Like you don't just do kind things, you become a kind person. And that comes from being with Christ. And when I say kindness is not something that's remembered, that's on your part. That does not mean it's on other people's parts. Because I think we can all think back to times when people were kind to us and think of how far back you can think of those things. How little of a thing it may have seemed to them, but how big of a deal it was to you. So realize we can throw out our words to damage people and it can have lasting impacts. Or instead, we can build up Christ's name by being kind. And we can do it in such a way that we don't even understand the impact. Now, again, the whole focus of it, and this is what we'll end with, is how we are to be kind to other people, how we are to see these people who are unkind to us and to be kind to them instead. Again, and it will always be this way, look to the cross. Look to Christ and see how he was kind to us. I mean, if we stop for a second and think of what they did to him when they blindfolded him, when they spit on his face and pulled out his beard and mocked him, and instead of just looking and saying, what a terrible thing they did, but remember, my sin did that to him, and if I was in the same place, I would be doing the same thing to him. And realizing God knew every single person that hit him. Jesus knew all of them. He could have told him who it was, and yet he didn't. And when he got up on the cross and got nailed there, what he cried about them was to be forgiven. He asked for God to forgive them because they don't understand. So in the same way, when people say things, realize they may not understand what's going on. And that we were once in their shoes. So let's show the kindness to them that we have experienced. I'll pray and we'll be dismissed. Matt's group, I'm going to be leading you guys off. So you guys will still have your group together. It's just we'll be going through the questions together. But I'll pray and we'll be dismissed. Father God, we're just so grateful for this time that you've given us and just the chance to hear your word. Lord, please just guide us through everything that you do and make it clear to us your kindness. Help us see your kindness so that we are kind to others also. And remind us of the impact of our bitterness, how it grieves your spirit and how it leaves a lasting hurt on other people too, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.